This is the Freedom Fighters broadcasting from Podbay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. The alternative series by warming your snatches just between the two radio waves. This warms your brain to a crispy and crunchy bad touch, officer, bad touch, to keep a sin flood of stains out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it? Michael and Shane, we have Michael
here. Incarceration.
Yeah, I feel it.
I feel it too.
Michael's gonna filibuster tonight. He's gonna talk his lung out.
Yeah.
For entertainment purposes only.
This is just a joke.
All right, it's Michael Dean.
Bip caught us.
Yeah, my voice is shredded, but you know, I got things to say because people misunderstood things that I said the other day. They thought that I was, yeah, really. Can you believe it?
Yes. And the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Yeah.
Worms.
So tell us, yep. Michael, how were you misunderstood?
Well, we did a show called First They Came for the Cantwell, which is a reference to who wants to explain both parts of that, the Cantwell and the First They Came.
First they came for the he who shall not be named. By the way, now that he's in jail, he has those closed borders that he's been advocating for. The story
hey,
is...
That's a slippery soap, and I don't want to go there.
Slippery soap?
Yeah.
He's just gay for the state. But anyway...
For the state.
Well, that too. Well, he did change his tagline on his website to nationalist atheist, but still an a-hole. But the reference is there was a guy, and I can't remember his name for the life of me, but he wrote a short little thing, and it says, "Well, first they came for the socialists. I didn't say anything because I wasn't a socialist."
Then okay, this was during Nazi genius. Germany. You're burying right. The lead.
And no, it was burying it. It's sprinkled around as fertilizer.
Ugh, boy, wow! Can you say that on radio? Probably because it's conservative. Because we're on conservative AM talk radio stations, so I don't know, man. I still think that joke.
Well, people don't know the hidden agenda of what I was thinking, so that's why I can get away with it. But anyway,
snow.
Yeah, he wrote this
in the summer,
right?
Wow.
Exactly.
Go on.
So he wrote the story. He said, first they came for the socialists. I said nothing because I wasn't a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists. I said nothing because I wasn't a trade unionist. And he goes down this list of unpopular groups, and it winds up with, and then they came for me, and there was nobody left to say anything.
Yep.
And
so.
And I didn't hear the show, but I would imagine the idea that you had was even unpopular speech should be defended. And if,
that's exactly
if somebody,
it.
If somebody like Cantwell can get taken out because he is rather unpopular right now. He's never really super popular.
I got to say, though, we've been bashing him since before it was cool. I've been bashing him on this show since before he was a white nationalist, back when he was just a jerk and an a-hole, you know, instead of a white nationalist jerk a-hole. And... So, yeah, man, I think it should mean something, and people should understand the consistency of, I hate this guy, he hates me, he's wished me dead when I was really ill, but I still think, even though we're kind of joking about soap, dropping soap and stuff, I don't like, A, that he's, like, being held without bail, which is unconstitutional. B, that he was singled out for what people, you know, arrested for assault, for pepper spraying someone, when it was clearly self-defense. You saw the video live, right, Lou? He was spraying a guy who was running around hitting people with a big pole, like trying to crack skulls.
I didn't go back and scrutinize it, but...
It's gone. It's gone from YouTube, man. There's a lot of videos of him getting pepper sprayed. There's videos of the rest of the rally. The video of the whole thing that you sent me live and we watched live, mm-hmm. that was up the next day, is gone. I think YouTube took it down because it would work in his favor. I really do.
Wow.
I don't know. I can't honestly say that.
You saw it live, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And?
But like I said, I wasn't paying very close attention to it and scrutinizing it. I had it on mostly as background noise. I was listening in and then watching every now and again because I had a couple computers going at the time.
As we all do. Fiends always have 6 or 7 computers running.
At least. And the cell phone.
Yeah.
But at the very least, he was not the only person involved. And
he was singled out because of speech.
Yeah, basically. Probably.
And also, it's really disgusting to me how literally millions of people, including people who call themselves libertarians and free speech advocates, are really happy, like, oh, he's getting his just desserts. Because basically, that everyone's excited that, like, he got taken off the internet in one day. And remember a couple years ago when I was pushing that everyone should get Namecoin domains that were uncensorable, and no one paid attention to me, and no one did it. No one used our software, Meowbit, that Derek Slopey and I made. Yeah, I'll bet they wish they did now. But all of these supposed, you know, Nazi sites and white power sites are gone. And you could say, well, you know, companies have the right to have who they want, but they're also singling out, like, they got rid of people like this, and they keep, like, everyone in Antifa and Black Lives Matter who are calling for, you know, kill Donald Trump and kill white people and all that. Like, that's okay, but, you know, the Cantwell stuff isn't okay. So basically, my point with first they came for the Cantwell is you shouldn't be cheering this, because if they can take Cantwell off the internet, off of every place he is on the internet, in a day, now, they can do the same and will do the same to you in a couple years. You know, basically, what they do with things like this is, you know, they being the government and being, you know, the internet gatekeeper corporations like Google and, you know, Internic and, you know, networks, you know, the network registries and OkCupid and all those, is that they go for the worst people first. Like, an example with the government was a few years ago, there was a guy that was a child molester that was sentenced to like 15 years in prison or something. And when his time was up, they decided to keep him in prison longer because he was a threat to the, you know, they said, oh, he might reoffend. That is absolutely unconstitutional. You know, let him out, put a tracking device on him, follow him closely. But you don't just decide to extend someone's jail sentence. But everyone was like, that makes sense. He's horrible. But they do it to the horrible person. You know, they do it. They say, Cantwell can't be on the internet. And everyone says, oh, of course, he's horrible. He has to be. We have to make an exception to free speech for him. So they do it to the horrible people. And it is a slippery slope. And, you know, a few years later, I mean, remember, these are people, the left right now, you know, they say it's okay to take Nazis off the internet. These people think everyone's a Nazi who's not a leftist. So, you know, in a couple of years, your free speech blog, your gun blog, your, you know, Christian conservative blog, your libertarian blog, your anarcho-capitalist blog is going to be called hate speech and taken off. So first they came for the Cantwell, and I'm speaking up. So there.
And I have to agree with you.
Shane, yeah. Do you agree?
I agree as well.
Good. You know who doesn't agree? The reason I'm having to come say all this is because I did this rant. I talked about this the other day, and James Weeks, who's a communist, not really, but James
hidden
Weeks, he's a hidden commie. Why is he a hidden commie? What's that mean? Tell us about the shirt.
Oh, a friend of ours made a shirt that says hidden commie. I think it's kind of half as a joke, but he also made one for James.
It's half.
I know there's a picture. Yeah, there's a picture out there of the two of them wearing that shirt together at the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest.
Yeah. So, Cody Wilson, our friend that made the printable gun, has made a site called Hatreon, which is like Patreon for people that have been kicked off Patreon for extremist views. And Cody is not a white nationalist, but he believes in free speech so much that he made that site, and I think it's hilarious. And my friend Little Mike, who I've known for 32 years in person, who's like the one person in San Francisco that still talks to me, because the rest of them are like, oh, Michael's into hate speech. He believes in free speech. Don't talk to him. Seriously, like, they started abandoning me when I got into guns, and then, like, now they've all blocked me. But Little Mike still, you'll see us going back and forth on Twitter a lot. We have fun. And he doesn't know I know Cody, and he tweeted the other day, like, have you guys heard about this guy? He made the printable guns, unregistered guns that anyone can make, and now he's making a site for hate speech fundraising called Hatreon. This is horrible. So I retweeted that and tagged Cody Wilson in it. And I had to do two tweets to fit this in, but I said, hey, Cody, when we send my friend Little Mike to the libertarian re-education camps for hating your printable guns and hating your free speech site, Hatreon, let's make sure he gets enough food, because he's got a good heart, and I've known him for 32 years. Yeah.
Wow.
That's very please kind clap. Of you.
Yeah. Please clap.
That's very kind of you.
Yep. #cat, please clap. All right. So that's one thing on my agenda. Any comments?
Yeah, I Googled something. And this
is that what your kids are calling it?
Yes. Yes, it is. This refers to the feeling of elation that people are having over Cantwell getting taken off the internet.
Schadenfreude?
The word is called Schadenfreude. And, of course, it has a German name. But it's the pleasure derived by someone from another person's misfortune.
Yeah, I'm going to call this episode Schadenfreude. We'll be back. I might stay on for two more segments. Worms.
I've got nothing to talk about, so stay all night.
#, please donate. I'll try.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Something funny. You know how we get on about 15 minutes before the show starts and discuss what we're going to talk about? We call it pre-gaming.
I never do that, but all right.
I didn't call it that, but that's a good name for it.
Well, I've called it that a lot, but I found out that pre-gaming is also slang for when you get drunk before you go out drinking to save money. That's funny. All right.
That sounds like when I was in the army over in Germany.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Germany. Were you Germany? Are you a Nazi?
Hidden Nazi? Just kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you guys see that thing about those open carry guys who went into the police station dressed like ISIS a few months ago? They went there.
No. One of them had his GoPro on his shoulder. He looked like the Predator.
Yeah, explain what they did and where they did it. That's kind of interesting where they did it.
They went into the police station in either Dearborn, Michigan or Dearborn Heights, Michigan.
Michigan.
Okay. So anyway, they
wearing
went in
balaclavas,
there,
covering their face with rifles.
Yeah, they walked in wearing baklavas with rifles. Exercising their right to open carry, and the police exercise their right to violate the open carry rights of said individuals, and they were found guilty of, I can't remember exactly what it was, but I think at least one of them is facing some serious, well, not serious, but well, and all prison time is kind of serious, but he's going to the joint for a while. His borders are going to be closed too.
That's a slippery slope. So and, wait, and
I think he is no open borders advocate, or at least he will be after the cell door.
Oh shuts. Man, Goatsy, are you So you're spinning this as what? Do you think what they did was smart?
Oh no, I think that was as dumb as a day is long.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. Here's the thing. Like when this happened, I said, "Man, these guys are idiots." I mean, the funny thing too that is kind of a subtext, which is important to the story too, is they basically looked like ISIS and went into a police station, head covered, you know, with assault rifles. With AKs and ARs, I think it was, and with cameras filming on their shoulder, they went in looking like ISIS.
That also shoot lasers.
Yeah, in the town that has the biggest Muslim population per capita in America, or actually, I think biggest population, isn't it? Dearborn.
Yeah, Dearborn.
Yeah. So you know, in a Muslim town, looking like ISIS, going into a police station, looking like, you know, you're about to commit jihad and suicide yourself. And I don't like police at all. But I think the police, for what they could have done and gotten away with, you know, which was basically shoot the guys in the middle of the head, I think they had a lot of restraint.
I think the cops could have turned them into number two pencils.
And gotten,
and
a medal.
Gotten away with it. Yeah, they could have turned them into number two pencils. They could have put more holes in them in them than Tupac, and they would have gotten away with it. They would have investigated themselves. They'd have given themselves medals, and those guys would be in their
four months paid vacation for grief counseling because it harmed them so much to have to kill these people. That's what they would have gotten. So I think the guys that went into the police station were freaking idiots. And I said that, and a lot of anarchists who live in their mother's basement instead of, like, you know, us, we taking care of ourselves. A lot of people were like, you hate freedom. You're a statist because you think these guys were stupid. What they did was great. You know, just because you can do something doesn't mean it's smart. And I'm not anti-open carry. I open carry sometimes, but I just wouldn't walk into a police station open carrying because I want to die of old age, you know, someday.
Right, that's definitely not the best way to go about that. But I heard that didn't they supposedly inform the police station that they were going to do that or something similar?
The police knew who they were. The police called them by name when they came in. No, they called the police and said they were going to come in. The police knew them, and they called the police and said that they were going to come in and file a complaint about treatment at a traffic stop. That doesn't necessarily mean the police in the moment put two and two together.
Right.
The second they saw them, when they could have shot it, got away with it. Then they started yelling at him by name because they put it together.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
All right. So, speaking of Christopher Cantwell, I have now been blocked on Twitter. The white nationalist that everyone knows about blocked me on Twitter about 3 years ago because I used to make fun of him all the time for being an idiot.
Now Twitter blocked him.
Yeah, yeah. I blocked him before it was cool.
In Soviet America, Twitter blocks you.
In Soviet America, social network follows you. So I'm actually now blocked by another Christopher Cantwell. Do you guys know about the other Christopher Cantwell?
Is that the producer?
Yeah, the producer of Halt and Catch Fire, the AMC show.
I haven't seen the show, and I only knew because you posted like his profile
screenshot.
Or something.
Yeah, well,
I was not aware of that.
I really tried to like that show. I really would like that show, except, and here's what I tweeted to him the other day: Halt and Catch Fire would be one of the best shows ever if any of the characters were likable enough that I cared what happened to them. And he blocked me for that.
Wait, say that again.
I said, Halt and Catch Fire would be one of the best shows ever if any of the characters were likable enough for me to care what happens to them.
Ouch.
And it's really true. I mean, it's, you know, that's a Hubert Selby thing. They talk about that in my movie, Hubert Selby Jr., It'll Be Better Tomorrow. Jerry Stahl, who wrote Permanent Midnight, who used to write on ALF, who helped create CSI, you know, Hollywood screenwriter and novelist. He met Hubert Selby, like, you know, 20 years ago in L.A., and said, should I say, no, I can't say that he was his AA sponsor. I can't say that Selby was Jerry's AA sponsor. I shouldn't say that on air. But he was also his friend and kind of his writing mentor and, you know, hero, you know, Jerry. And he, like, Jerry showed Selby a first draft of the book Permanent Midnight, which was later a huge selling book and was turned into a movie with Ben Stiller playing Jerry Stahl. You know, it's about being in his life as a junkie screenwriter before he got clean. On ALF. He used to write, he was the main writer on ALF, and he was a junkie. That makes a lot of sense if you've seen ALF. But, you know, he showed him this draft, an early draft of it, and Selby read it, and he said, you know, I got some advice for you. And Jerry Stahl said, oh, no, what? Throw it away and start over? And he said, well, no, but you have to care about the characters. Like, no matter how messed up they are, you have to, like, care what happens to them. And I don't see that reading this. And so Jerry, like, rewrote it and made you care about the messed up main character, which is Jerry Stahl. And that is so true, man. And that's, like, the main thing that keeps me from liking some things. Like, I don't know how stuff gets made with millions of dollars and goes in, like, second and third seasons when you really don't care about any of the characters. And that's how Halt and Catch Fire is. Like, the topic's interesting to me. The people look interesting. The things that they're doing are interesting. Everything's interesting about it except the characters. Like, and they're interesting too, but you don't care about them. They're not likable in any way. You know, like, even Walter White on Breaking Bad, who, like, you know, murders people and, like, you know, poisons a child, he's still likable enough that you care what happens to him.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert, something ended 4 years ago, 6 years ago.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that expired.
I was about to start watching it this fall. Thanks a lot, Michael. You bleeped it all up.
Did Lou just get really loud? I don't know.
Yeah, you just can't weld it for me.
Oh, I didn't turn triggered. It down. Right. Yeah. So, I'm blocked by both Chris Cantwells. So there. But, you know.
Wow.
Unlike what most leftists would think, the Christopher Cantwell producer and Christopher Cantwell, the hate monger, neither of them violated my free speech. Now explain that, because a lot of times, like, you know, I'll block people and they'll say, oh, I thought you cared about free speech. Why are you blocking people? Explain the difference.
Go ahead, Shane.
Okay, well, the difference is that, this is basically the freedom of association. And
property rights.
Right, and property rights. So, like, if it's your page or, say, your house, you know, somebody can't just come in and, like, say however they want or do however they want because, you know, it's your private property. And Facebook is actually private property. So, yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think Facebook banning someone, I mean, yeah, you could say they have terms of service.
Well, that,
but I think Facebook is basically the government now. So, you know. The thing is, free speech only applies to the government. Like, the First Amendment only applies to the government. It only applies, and I think it could, you know, free speech, not necessarily the First Amendment, but free speech in general, I think could apply to things like Facebook when they kind of become the monopoly. Facebook blocking somebody, I think is a violation of free speech. Me blocking you on my thread on Facebook so I don't have to hear your autistic screeching if you're a liberal is not violating your free speech, because you still can talk on the rest of Facebook and on the rest of the internet. So the difference, yeah, the difference is, like, if I'm just blocking me from hearing you scream at me, that's not violating your free speech, because you still have free speech in the rest of the world. It's just kicking you out of the party in the living room of my internet, you know, basically.
Right. You're just not listening. They're still speaking. It's just you're not listening anymore.
And you know, I have the right to speak. You do not have a right to an audience.
Right, right. And I feel like leftists these days feel like they do have the right to make you listen. Like, you know, the fact that they go to, you know, like when people are speaking at a college and they just start screeching and blowing air horns. You know, I think those people should be physically removed from, you know, that private property. But that's the problem with the commons, too, is like a college is kind of public property, not, you know, private property. I'd like to see a whole lot more private property in the world. But I really feel like leftists and Antifa types would basically, their idea of free speech is they'd like to tie you in a chair and scream at you with a bullhorn. Which, you know, that's why I made the joke about sending little with Cody Wilson about sending little Mike to libertarian re-education camp, you know, where we put him in a
the non-aggression principle into him.
Yeah, and just put him in a room and blast Ben Stone episodes at ear-splitting volumes for 72 hours or something.
Freedom Fiend episodes by day, and then Ben Stone would calm him down and let him sleep at night.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There you go. Yeah.
So first it's like waterboarding, and then it's water sounds. You know, soothing water sounds. The waterboarding of the Freedom Fiends, and the water sounds of Ben Stone gently talking about the great man theory.
You know, I've seen what I think I've even started to see. Hell banning. You guys know what hell banning is, right? I think that I think Facebook started doing it to me when I started posting a lot of things that were pro free speech a couple months ago, even before the Charlottesville thing. But definitely after that, like hell banning. Do you guys know what it is? Can you explain it?
No, I haven't heard of it.
Don't.
It's the best kind of banning ever. Like if you did it on your site, it's basically where instead of blocking someone from your site, which tends to make people go crazy and try to find other ways to contact you if they're really nuts. Hell banning is where you don't block them from the site. They can still post, but only they can see their posts.
Oh.
But that's funny when you do it on your own private site. But again, I think that Facebook and Google are like the government, and they're kind of like the internet to a lot of people. Like, when I'm out and about in Walmart or doctor's office or whatever, and I look over people's shoulders and they're on their cell phone, they're on Facebook, like, 4/5 of the time. Like, to a lot of people, Facebook is the internet, you know? It's the only site they really go to, except
pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, if they're searching, you know, where, you know, the snow plowing people are in their town or something, you know? Like, but they don't hang out anywhere else. So I kind of feel like, and the fact that both of those, Facebook at least, and probably Google will, definitely Facebook, I know, will turn over private conversations between you and other people on Facebook to law enforcement without a warrant. You know, if a cop just calls and can prove they're a cop, they'll give them anything they want on Facebook. So I think they're basically an arm of the government now. So I think that, you know, if you're banned from Facebook and Google, you pretty much don't exist these days. So... But I think those sites are hell banning me. Like, I've noticed that after I started, like, searching a lot of stuff about the alt-right, trying to learn more about it, and searching stuff about Cantwell, and searching stuff about free speech rallies, and watching free speech videos on YouTube, which is owned by Google, and doing the same and posting the same on Facebook, like, the number of people that see my posts has gone down by, like, 1/3. And it's on everything, like even cat pictures I post. Like, you know, it's not just me it's not just me being posting less likable things. Like, I really think Google and Facebook are hell banning me a little bit. And Google, too, like search results, like not showing up as high in search results for fiend stuff. So what were you going to say, Lou?
I was just musing to myself. I wonder what it would take to become popular. How somebody would go about becoming popular without social media like Facebook, Twitter, or Google search for that matter. I think you'd have to probably be established already, or I don't know, maybe some sort of cult-like following.
You'd have to pay a lot of money to. You'd have to pay a lot of money to advertise on Facebook and Google. That's how you do
okay.
it.
Okay, but if you're banned from Facebook or hell banned from Facebook and Google, then what?
Well, interestingly enough, when our friend Virgil Vaduva, who made Cell 411, was buying ads for Cell 411 on Facebook, and Virgil's funny because he's like total straight up anarchist, solid guy, irks a lot of people, you know, and is very un-PC and pretty much, you know, of the same mind of like, you know, not a Nazi but believes anybody should be able to speak, like total free speech guy, and he posted something. He gets he's been banned like 8 times on Facebook, I think. And one time he got banned on Facebook. He wrote to the Facebook advertising department and said, I'm spending a lot of money right now on ad campaigns on Facebook. I'm going to cancel that if you don't reinstate my account. And they reinstated his account. So lefties really only, you know, they'll make a point, but money comes first. Facebook has no integrity. Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Are you tired of driving your kids to Gigi Allen's grave only to be unable to find the grave because some dick stole the headstone? Well, there is a solution. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app for Android will give you door-to-grave directions. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app uses advanced GPS protocols to guide you with voices to the exact patch of dust and grass where Gigi took his final dirt nap. Bring the kids. Do some needle drops at the Gigiest place on Earth. Gigi always had a huge underground following, but it's even bigger now that he's literally underground. So it's no surprise that lots of folks today take a pilgrimage to Gigi's grave. But getting there wasn't easy. Until this app. Forget Graceland, forget the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Those are plastic places for old people with jobs. Hell, even CBGB's is gone, and that former hallowed ground is now a yuppie coffee bar. The real rock and roll Mecca is an unmarked patch of grass in Littleton, New Hampshire, and our free app will show you how to get there. Get the Find Gigi Allen's Grave app today. Even if you're not planning to go there soon, the app is fun. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app is covered by the BIPCOT No Government License, and it's from the good people at Beast Lick Internet Policy Commission Outreach Team, who also brought you Fiend Phone, the Freedom Fiends radio app, BIPCOT, Meow Bit, and of course, Truth, Justice, American Way. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app is free. Get it today on the Google Play Store or on Amazon. Your family will thank you. And don't forget to rate and review. Worms, eating Gigi Allen's face.
So anyway, special announcement. There's an event coming up. It's just a couple weeks away. It is AgoraFest 2017, and it will be held September 7th through September 10th at the Buffalo Ridge Resort and Business Center in Gary, South Dakota. Yes, that's right. If you ever wanted to go to the middle of nowhere, no, I'm just kidding. I think it's a regular area, but I've looked at the website and it looks like a pretty neat location. But anyway, AgoraFest is really neat. It's different from Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It's basically a anarchist libertarian type thing, but they're a little bit more science and tech oriented as far as like the presentations and stuff go. For example, they have one thing which will be on, I'm not sure what day it'll be, but it's called I'd Rather Be High, and that's where they'll have the drones out there and the rockets. They got these little model rockets. They the little testers engines that you put inside, and they'll shoot them way up in the air, and they come down with the parachute. And the kids get a big kick out of it. And then they'll have a number of drones out there, and everybody will get a chance to fly the drones, and some of them have the video cameras attached. Really good time. And they have music from Esme Alexis, a local musician, singer, songwriter. And let's see now. They will have the Agora Bookstore and all sorts of cool things. Probably one of my favorite things out there is Mr. Kobayashi's Wood-Fired Grill. And that's a guy, Brad, he'll be out there cooking on his campsite with a cast iron and doing, some sort of fancy roast beef and chicken and all sorts of other good stuff. It's roast really beast. Neat. So get out there. Go to agorafest.com and get your tickets today. Register your friends and family members.
Round them up and register them. Yeah. Send me a link to that, Lou, and I'll put it in the show notes.
Okay.
You know, if you have those testers rocket engines, don't also have marijuana, apparently, because someone in my town of Catspur, Wyoming, also known as Beast Lick, Wyoming, got arrested for growing marijuana. And he also was a model rocket enthusiast. So they charged him with having marijuana in conjunction with bomb-making materials.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. Just because, you know, I swear, small government Wyoming, the reddest state in the union, is probably, you know, the people here all yell, we want small government, but, you know, want. They don't really want small government.
Yeah, commie red state.
Yeah.
Well, is it the local newspaper called the Commie Star Tribune?
Yeah, it's the Red Star Tribune. I call it the Red Star Tribune. Or the also known as the Prairie Pravda. Oh, man. So, no, it's Casper Tribune. Yeah, we call it the Prairie Pravda. And I'm saying this because this will go on the radio in Casper this weekend. So, actually, I have to say it again in the last half hour. But, yeah, I guess you don't want to do that here. But I believe that this state will be the last to legalize marijuana, and they'll use state rights to keep it illegal. That is so misunderstanding.
The 10th Amendment.
Yeah, which is such a misunderstanding of the 10th Amendment. But
Actually, the proper term, not to be a status Nazi here, but the proper term is states' powers, not rights.
So funny thing about Nazis, funny thing about Hitler. Hitler had one of the most powerful radio transmitters ever for broadcasting his propaganda. It was 800,000 watts, and it reached to America and all over Europe and, like, you know, basically most of the world. And it was by far, during World War II, for playing his propaganda speeches, and it was by far the most powerful radio transmitter ever, you know, by magnitude of, you know, 10 at least, in the world at that point. So basically, that means that Hitler is going to be the first voice that aliens hear from Earth.
Wow, I did not see that coming. I bet people were furious about it.
Wow. And speaking of audio Nazis, Hitler's scientists actually basically invented high fidelity. You know, invented, like, tape recorders that have really good quality and really good microphones. You know, for broadcasting his speeches. And those microphones are still coveted today. If you could find a Neumann, you know, a 1940s Neumann, they're like $20,000. So, cutting edge of Nazi technology. Nazis are bad. Yeah, fart. I love to go back.
Making the world a better place with Great Liberty Media is not easy, but it is effective. Making the world a better place with Great Liberty Media doesn't even pay very much at all. Sometimes we even have to pay out of our own pockets. But we do it because we have to. For you. And for the children. Here at the Freedom Fiends, we've been producing amazing and effective Liberty Media every day since 2011. Radio shows, podcasts, movies, music, cryptocurrencies, and yes, even memes. The Freedom Fiends also run the world's only Liberty Media Teaching Hospital and the world's only Voluntarist Media University. Our hands-on classes educate and shape hundreds of the great Liberty speakers of today and tomorrow, and they, in turn, will teach and inspire others. Heck, even the ones who got fired or quit in a huff still hold useful skills and equipment to hone their own Liberty Media and teach others. Freedom Fiends Media and our students' media is a rising groundswell to help create happy Liberty lives around the world and maybe even on to Alpha Centauri. Kitty cats and puppies like living in Liberty homes more than in statist homes. So please donate to the Freedom Fiends, if only for the kitties. Hashtag please donate Freedom Fiends, think of the kitties.
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low-orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibCare 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. As always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. This allows reuse by anyone except governments and government agents. To learn more, go to BIPCOT.org.
All right. Worms.
We're back. This is the second hour of Freedom Fiends. I'm Shane, and I'm here with Lou.
Yo.
So how in the happy Halloween are you, Lou?
I am doing well. I'm doing fine. It's a little chilly up here, but I think we're going to be okay. Haven't had a frost warning in August for like a week now.
Yeah, we have had a mild summer, and we are also getting a little bit of the... A little bit of the weather, I guess, from Harvey. And I'm actually planning on going to, you mentioned an event earlier in the previous segment, and I'm actually going to be attending an event this weekend called Anarchon. All right. Well, it's called Anarchon, and it goes from September 1st to the 4th. And this is going to be in Gore, Virginia, at a campground called The Cove. And, basically, the event page says, join us for a week of anarchy. Let's come together as a tribe to share our stories of liberation, strategies against tyranny, and celebration of community. Anarchon will be taking place at The Cove, a beautiful 3,000-acre mountain campground. Includes a beach for swimming, lakes to go boating and fishing, trails for motorcycles, ATVs, mountain biking, and hiking. And if that's not enough for you, there's also a rifle and pistol range on site. We'll be hosting our festivities for Spontaneous Order at Camp 6, I believe. It includes a stage for music and talks, washroom facilities, and room for up to 1,000 campers. Although I don't believe we're going to be expecting anywhere near that. It's probably going to be a little smaller than the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. And the admission price is... $17 for adults for each 24-hour stay, which would be, I think, $51 for the entire thing. It's a non-political event. The non-aggression principle with respect for property rights and self-ownership should be the only rules necessary. And I'm looking forward to meeting a lot of the people involved in this event. I think it's put on by Liberate RVA. And Cal Molinay is one of their members, who was also a very big influence on me when I was early on in my anarcho-capitalist days, when I was a fresh baby anarchist. People like Cal Molinay really kind of got me to open my eyes and see things more consistently, at least. So I'm really looking forward to going to that event this weekend. I've been working double shifts at work to try to have a four-day weekend, and so I'm in between two doubles right now, and I had to pretty much pack most of the night for the trip, and I didn't get much of a nap, but I'm here. The show must go on, as they say.
Your nap got violated by the show.
Yes, my nap got violated.
Yeah, I've met Cal a couple of times when he's come up to Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest, and he's a pretty nice guy, real easygoing, and he's pretty darn sharp, too. So I can see where he would be quite influential to a lot of people. And he does a lot of outreach in the Richmond, Virginia area, trying to get the commies to swear off their stupidity and get a little bit of reason.
Yeah, anyone who's familiar with Cal Molinay has probably seen those videos where he goes out and talks to the random person on the street, on the campus around there. And a lot of those, you say commies, but a lot of them really are like big government leftists and stuff. And they have really inconsistent arguments that Cal is able to pick apart with, you know, logical consistency. And seeing that kind of approach early on was really kind of what won me over, because I've always been big on logic and economics. And those are the types of arguments that he uses to deconstruct these status arguments. And so seeing Cal do that over and over again was a really big influence on me towards becoming an anarchist. So I have actually met him. He was at the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest this year. And so it was good to finally meet Cal. And I'm looking forward to going out and seeing what kind of party they can throw this weekend.
Well, I hope you have a good time. Any of the Detroit folks going too?
I believe some of the Detroit folks are wanting to go. I don't believe they're going to make it up Friday, but they might be there on Saturday.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'm just going to do some local camping around here. And hopefully I won't have to turn the furnace on in the camper at night.
Yeah. It's looking like Friday and Saturday are going to be pretty chilly, and we're probably going to have some rain also. But that never stops us from having a good time. We know the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest is no stranger to rain.
You know, it's really just the past 2 years that we've had a lot of rain at the Liberty Fest.
Yeah.
And normally it hasn't been too bad.
Yeah, last year was my first year. But even then, you know, the rain that we had was mostly in the morning, and by noon it was pretty much over. And then, you know, we could go about the rest of the day just fine. I mean, it got a little muddy in certain places, but for the most part, it did not really interfere with the activities at all.
No, it went pretty smooth. And what else about Anarchon? Anything else?
Well, let's see here. It's a long drive, and I don't know if... how many other people are going to be coming from that far away. I know there's a lot of people, well, at least a few coming from the Michigan area. But we had people come from all over the world, basically, at the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. So I can't wait to see, you know, how far and wide people actually come from to visit Anarchon. But I really don't know a lot about it, seeing as how I've never been there before, but I can't wait to experience my first year of this particular event.
Based upon what you know of it, what are you looking forward to while you're there?
The people. And it's the same with the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. The people that I met last year and again this year, I feel like I've, you know, they say ANFAM, and anarcho, which stands for anarcho family, and I really do feel like I'm part of that family now. So I can't wait to meet more of the ANFAM this weekend.
Nice. All right, do we want to transition over and start talking about Pelosi and her revelation? Is it true that Nancy Pelosi has sworn off being a total leftist commie scumbag and embraced liberty and resigned her position after voting to end everything? Or is it something else?
Well, let's see here. If you buy into the false dichotomy of Antifa versus Nazis, there seems to be no middle ground or no gray area in between. So if you're not one, you must be the other. And Pelosi is obviously not Antifa. So does that make her a Nazi? It's one of those things that make you go, But anyway, we have an article here from The Hill. It's thehill.com. And the headline is Pelosi Condemns Antifa After Berkeley Clashes. And it says, House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi on Tuesday condemned the Antifa, or anti-fascist protesters, who clashed with President Trump supporters in Berkeley, California, Sunday. Quote, our democracy has no room for inciting violence or endangering the public, no matter the ideology of those who commit such acts, Pelosi said in a statement. The violent acts of people calling themselves Antifa in Berkeley this weekend deserve unequivocal condemnation, and the perpetrators should be arrested and prosecuted. Nancy Pelosi comes out condemning Antifa after Sunday's Berkeley rally, saying it was a sad event and calling for arrests. And there's a that links a
That's picture. A tweet from Jack Smith the IV. I don't know who he is.
Right, yeah. That's a,
he has a Twitter account, so he must be important. Well, he has a check mark next to his name also, so he's verified.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know how to get verified. That's that means VIP or something. So, but Pelosi's statements follow clashes on Sunday between president supporters of President Trump and counter protesters at Berkeley. And
It says
arrests, pepper spray, and smoke bombs were reportedly used on Sunday after violence broke out among a handful of protesters. More than 1,000 people had turned out on Sunday, and most protesters were peaceful. Reports indicate 14 people were arrested during the rally. Several of those targeted for violence were known for pro-Trump or far-right views, according to the Los Angeles Times and SF Gate.
So what exactly was the rally? Do you was this a free speech rally? Was this a white power rally? Was this Comic-Con?
I don't know for sure, but I believe this was probably part of the numerous, alt-right rallies that had been planned throughout the country. I assume this was one of those that Antifa probably showed up to counter-protest. But that is an assumption that I'm making here, and I could be wrong. However, we've seen this happen a lot, where the alt-right will gather to, you know, for free speech, to exercise their free speech, and then Antifa will show up to protest that, and then, you know, words get thrown back and forth, and eventually someone's feelings get hurt, and then they react with violence. Which is unfortunate, but it seems to be happening a lot lately. And I don't actually condone that, nor do I participate in this whole false left-right dichotomy thing. Because we know there's a lot of middle ground in between.
Or just completely outside of that nonsense. Okay, so let's see, Washington Post has something here. Talk for a minute while I bring this up and figure out what's going on.
Well, one other thing I just remembered about Anarchon is that they're going to have like a devil's advocate debate where I guess people will take a stance that they don't necessarily agree with just for the sake of the debate. And the first debate that they were having was on open versus closed borders, which I thought seemed to be kind of a false dichotomy. So I simply said in the post, I said, what about no borders, you know, as a third option? And they said, okay, great, you got no borders, and then I'm going to be debating someone who's debating for closed borders. And so I kind of got volunteered into that automatically without realizing it. Yeah, I got voluntold. So I kind of accidentally signed myself up for a debate. So that's going to be interesting. I can't wait to debate on no borders as opposed to open versus closed.
Well, of the three options, I think you have the best option. It's the one.
Well, I do have logical consistency on my side, so there's that.
All right, we'll be back.
Worms.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Go, go, Freedom Fiends!
Freedom Fiends! Helping the helpless! Freedom Fiends! Saving the universe! Freedom Fiends! Doing the things that I've
taken taking the world from the state! Fighting the forces of hate!
Freedom Fiends! Helping the helpless! Freedom Fiends! Kicking the hornet's nest! Freedom Fiends! Doing the things that I've taken!
Keeping the tasers away! You should be free, not a slave! You'll hear the truth today. Yeah, we will not force you to stop in the cops on the block. For the fiends on the block, ain't never gonna stop in the glass go blow.
Pelosi has condemned the Antifa for their bleepery out of Berkeley. So I went and found a story because I really don't, I really just don't have a whole lot of interest in all this political nonsense. And the fact that you,
yeah,
that
same
you take
here.
Time away from your family and recreation or making a better life for yourself to go support some politician or some political ideology, it's just mind-numbing to me. I don't understand why they do it. So we have an article here that I started looking at from the Washington Post, and the title is Black-Clad Antifa Members Attack Peaceful Right-Wing Demonstrators in Berkeley. So Washington Post usually has a tendency to lean a little bit more left, even though all media leans statist. But
right.
if the Washington...
Hello? Is that me or is that Lou that dropped out? Okay, well, it sounds like maybe Lou got droned. And I don't actually have the same article that he had. So I'm going to go with an article that I had ready, which is slightly related. This one is actually from the dailyprogress.com. And this particular article, the headline says, three arrested as councilors vote to shroud Confederate statues at meeting overwhelmed by anger. So this is slightly related to the protests between the clashes between Antifa and the alt-right. And the article goes on to say, three Charlottesville residents are facing misdemeanor charges after Monday evening's raucous city council meeting that was taken over by those demanding answers for the city's handling of the August 12th Unite the Right rally. Donna Gasapo Gray, 43, was charged with disorderly conduct. Two others, Mark Heisey, 30, and Sarah Mitchell Tansey, 29, were charged with obstruction of justice. The council agreed to continue the meeting following the arrests, but canceled the planned agenda. The meeting then turned into a town hall-style meeting that ended after 1 a.m. Tuesday morning. The Charlottesville City
Fiend
Council
phone.
Voted...
Fiend phone.
All right.
I am back.
Maybe Lou has rejoined us. Did you get droned, Lou?
I did. I lost internet service.
Yeah.
So I have no idea what in the happy Halloween happened, but it did happen. So it kind of explained why I wasn't able to go through the story like I wanted to. But anyway, I think when I left off, I found it a little bit amazing that Washington Post was referring to them as a peaceful right-wing protest, because the media has generally been talking about the right-wing protesters. I'm not just talking about the alt-right, but they've referred to the Republicans, small government conservative types. They have a tendency to demonize them, even if they're not like the alt-right Nazi scumbags. By the way, the article starts off, their faces hidden behind black bandanas and hoodies, about 100 anarchist, socialists, economically illiterate, butthurt socialists, but not anarchists, so anyway, but I digress, and Antifa, anti-fascist, members barreled into a protest Sunday afternoon in Berkeley's Martin Luther King Jr. Civic Center Park. Jumping over plastic and concrete barriers, what do they think they are, American Ninja? The group melted into a larger crowd of around 2,000 that had marched peacefully throughout the sunny afternoon for a rallying against hate gathering. Shortly after, violence began to flare. A pepper spray wielding Trump supporter was smacked to the ground with homemade shields. What is this, the Renaissance Fair? Another one was attacked by five black-clad Antifa members, each windmilling kicks and punches into a man desperately trying to protect himself. What are they, ninjas? A conservative group leader retreated for safety behind a line of riot police as marchers chucked water bottles, shot off pepper spray, and screamed, "Fascists, go home." Because to them, everybody to the right of Nancy Pelosi is a fascist. All told, the Associated Press reported at least five individuals were attacked. An AP reporter witnessed the assaults. Berkeley Police's Lieutenant Joe O'Keefe told the Washington Post the rally resulted in 13 arrests on a range of charges, including assault with a deadly weapon, obstructing a police officer, and various Berkeley Municipal Code violations. I can't take the code violations part, but anyway. All right, we will be back.
Worms.
listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other Chrome robot turd, available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and freedomfiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends Radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. And get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends Radio app for Android worms.
So the Washington Post article continues, and although the anti-hate and left-wing protesters were largely drowned out the smaller clutch of far-right marchers attending a planned No to Marxism in America rally, Sunday's confrontation marked another street brawl between opposing ends of the political spectrum. Violence has become a regular feature of the Trump years and gives signs of spiraling upward, particularly in the wake of violence in Charlottesville. I'm not a fan of Trump. Well, I'm not a fan of any politician, but I don't think that you could say that violence has been a regular feature of the Trump years. I think that's, you know, it's almost like two different people are writing this article, because in the beginning they're talking about how the Antifa lefties are a bunch of violent thugs, but in this particular paragraph here, they're talking about the right wing folks, and I'm
well,
not
why
really
not
sure.
Both?
Yeah. Well, voting is violent speech, so yeah, when they're supporting their candidates, that's unfree speech. But I really don't understand where they're coming from that, but anyway, so it continues. I applaud the more than 7,000 people who came out today to peacefully oppose bigotry, hatred, and racism that we saw on display in Charlottesville. Berkeley Mayor Jesse Aragon said in a statement, however, the violence that small group of protesters engaged in against residents and the police, including throwing smoke bombs, is unacceptable. Fighting hate with hate does not work and only makes each side more entrenched in their ideological camps. You know what? I'm really going to agree with that. I don't think that you can fight hate with hate. And I do think that a lot of these people on both sides have dug in their heels and really solidified their positions based upon their dislike of what the other side is doing. And I think each time there's an escalation on one side, the other side feels that it has to escalate. It's like the, you know, let's do something stupid. And they're like, me too, me too.
Yeah. Each side seems to be defining themselves in opposition to the other side. But when you define yourself according to your enemy, what do you do when you finally defeat that enemy? You know, it's like, oh, you have to find a new enemy, basically. And both sides are violent. You know, it seems like, you know, the left or the right is not exclusive to, you know, being violent. Both sides are guilty of it. So it kind of reminds me of that Family Guy meme where he's like, kids, you're both awful. You know.
Now I wonder how it would turn out if there weren't counter protesters showing up to protest these different rallies. Well, first of all, I don't know that there's any left wing rallies that right wingers are showing up to be counter protesters at. But I wonder, and this isn't really a well thought out thought. It's just kind of something's bouncing around in my head right now, just popped in there recently. I wonder if any violence would wind up happening if there were not counter protesters at the right wing rallies. And what I'm saying is, you know, the groups like Antifa, if they had not shown up in Charlottesville and been just as obnoxious as the white supremacists, I wonder if anything would have broke out. Meaning, do I think that that the white supremacists would have seen a black guy or somebody walking around and then just attacked them on their own, unprovoked? This is kind of what I'm wondering. And the same could go for the other side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as far as I know, that if one side was there by themselves, their message would pretty much not really be newsworthy, because it would be largely ignored if it wasn't for the escalation of violence that occurred because both sides were antagonizing each other. So if it was just one side or the other, I don't think we would have even heard about it, and it probably would have gotten swept under the media rug, so to speak.
So kind of like that phrase, stop making stupid people famous, referring to like the Kardashians and people like that.
Exactly.
Paris Hilton. Stop making evil people newsworthy. Both sides.
I agree. Absolutely.
So going back to the incident that happened in Charlottesville, because that's referenced in these articles, what's the latest on that? What was it that you came up with?
Alrighty. Briefly, while you were droned, I started to mention this article from the Daily Progress, which is at thedailyprogress.com. And the headline is, Three Arrested as Counselors Vote to Shroud Confederate Statues at Meeting Overwhelmed by Anger. Three Charlottesville, and this is where I started last time. I said, three Charlottesville residents are facing misdemeanor charges after Monday evening's raucous city council meeting that was taken over by those demanding answers for the city's handling of the August 12th Unite the Right rally. Dono Gasapo Gray, 43, was charged with disorderly conduct. Two others, Mark Heisey, 30, and Sarah Michael Tanzi, 29, were charged with obstruction of justice. The council agreed to continue the meeting following the arrest, but canceled the planned agenda. The meeting then turned into a town hall-style meeting that ended after 1 a.m. Tuesday morning. The Charlottesville City Council voted unanimously early Tuesday to cover the city statue of Confederates General Robert E. Lee and Thomas Stonewall Jackson in black fabric, which will represent the city's mourning of Heather Heyer. Heyer was killed earlier this month. Is it Heyer? I might be butchering that name. I apologize. Heyer was killed earlier this month in what many have described as white nationalist terrorism. At least 30 others were injured in the attack. Sometime after the August 12th white nationalists Unite the Right rally was shut down by authorities due to violence between ralliers and counter-protesters, a 20-year-old man from Ohio who came to attend the rally allegedly drove his car into a crowd of downtown mall pedestrians on 4th Street. The council voted on other resolutions after a tumultuous council meeting Monday evening. Activists and residents took over the meeting to express their anger and frustration about how the city and police officials handled the rally. In addition to seeking the removal of the city's Lee statue, councilors voted to direct the Board of Architectural Review to make a decision on removing the nearby Jackson statue. It was a total takeover. People in the crowd said three were arrested. They called for Mayor Mike Siner's removal. His eyes welled as people told the city council how they experienced the vicious car attack that slammed into a crowd of counter-protesters crossing the downtown mall. A woman said her daughter was supposed to start her fourth year at the University of Virginia this week. She won't be attending the first day of class because of her injuries, the mother said. Another man said he's suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. He said he can still see the bodies that went flying after the car struck the crowd several hours after the Unite the Right rally was shut down because of the rampant street fighting outside of Emancipation Park, the location where the white nationalists and white supremacists gathered on August 12th for the Unite the Right rally. It's unique that they gathered at Emancipation Park, of all places. That's quite the coincidence. Or is it? But anyway, within 30 minutes of starting its meeting, the entire city council, the city attorney, city manager, and council clerk all retreated to a back room. Two women stood on top of the dais with a banner that said, "Blood on your hands."
See, city council candidate involved in politics.
Yeah. If that's what you can call this, I think, yeah. Politics, which is short for, means poly for many, and ticks for bloodsuckers.
All blood-sucking right. Parasites.
Blood-sucking parasites. So anyway, City Council candidate and community activist Nika Walker asked, why do you think you can walk in here and do a business-as-usual meeting after what happened on the 12th? Mayor Mike Siner and Councilor Kathy Galvin are now supporting the removal of Charlottesville statue of Robert E. Lee from Emancipation Park, but the change did not spare them from criticism Monday. Last week, Siner asked for the state General Assembly to hold an emergency session to consider amending the state's law regarding statues. A lawsuit citing that law is preventing the city from removing the statue as planned because of a court injunction. A spokesperson for Governor Terry McAuliffe intimated last week that a special session was unlikely. Galvin held a news conference Monday to announce her change of mind, and she called for the removal of the statue of Thomas Stonewall Jackson, too. It's time for the Jackson and Lee statues to be relocated to a battlefield park or museum where they will neither be reviled or revered, she said, adding that she'd prefer the statues be there so that they can be preserved and explained more fully. She said the state legislature would need to play a role in their removal. Quote, we've been told that if we take them down tonight, we're going to be personally sued, Councilor Wes Bellamy said Monday night. Quote, we will personally be held liable and charged with a Class 6 felony. Councilor Kristen Zakos encouraged the protesters to challenge the state's legislators. Quote, you can't just show up to city council meetings, Zakos told the protesters. You have to go to the state legislature. Virginia has laws that restrict what we can do, unquote. Signer and Galvin's change of heart, however, failed to placate those who accosted their local elected officials almost immediately at the start of the meeting. It then became an urban populist coup. Quote, someone needs to be held accountable, said Don Gathers, the former chairman of the Blue Ribbon Commission that recommended the relocating of the Lee statue. Something is going to happen.
A Blue Ribbon Commission to look at relocating a statue? Seriously?
There's all kinds of irony in here.
This is why we can't have nice things.
Yeah.
All right, continue.
All right, quote, something is going to happen by any means necessary, unquote, he added. People are tired and they're fed up. It's going down for real. Social justice activist Emily Gorsensky said many protesters had tried to warn the city that violence would come to the city if the rally was permitted. Aside from the well-documented clashes that took place on Market Street and in Emancipation Park, protesters Monday said the Unite the Right ralliers went to a majority African-American communities south of the downtown area to harass residents there. Gorsensky said activists and counter-protesters took it upon themselves to defend the community. Quote, Charlottesville isn't the capital of the resistance, Gorsensky said, excoriating Signer's declaration of resistance against President Donald Trump earlier this year. And that's the end of this. Or no, it's not the end of the article. Charlottesville now, she said, is the capital of the anti-fascist. There's a lot of this article left, and we only have about 60 seconds.
Not even that.
20 seconds. Yeah. So we're going to be back after this trip to the market with hopefully a little bit
of redemption. We'll talk a little bit about what has been read.
Mm-hmm. All right.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
I love the Freedom Fiends, but in this modern busy world, I just don't have time to listen all the way through every episode.
There is a solution. Go to the World Wide Web and log on to digest.freedomfiends.com and subscribe to the Freedom Fiends Digest. Digest.freedomfiends.com has 20-minute best-ofs of each episode.
20-minute best-ofs? Digest.freedomfiends.com sounds great. How much does it cost?
That's the best part. It's free. And if you listen at 1.5 speed, they're only 13 minutes long. Plus, the episodes are only about 15 megs, which is great, because I have a limited data plan.
Wow. I'm at digest.freedomfiends.com right now. It's so simple to use. And anyone who doesn't have 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends is a big old statist.
I agree with you about people who can't find 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends Digest. That's digest.freedomfiends.com.
Meow.
Woof.
All right. We're back. It's the Freedom Fiends. I'm Shane, and I'm here with Lou.
And I got a mouthful of Cherry Garcia.
That sounds delicious.
Oh, it is.
Before they break during the last segment. We were talking about Charlottesville, but now we're talking about Cherry Garcia, which is a ice cream flavor from Ben & Jerry's.
Yes, and it's far preferable to this nonsense in Charlottesville. So going through this article, it's really interesting. The fact that the council members could get charged with some sort of felony if the statues are taken down, and they have laws governing them. So they told the protesters that they have to go to the state legislature. So apparently, government can limit government.
When is convenient for the government? Yeah.
But the thing is, all these lefties that are freaking out over these statues and they want it down now, this cluster bleep that's stopping the statues from getting taken down, this is their doing. They wanted more government. They wanted more bureaucracy. This is it.
Mm-hmm.
This is what it looks like. This is what you wanted, you idiots. And quite frankly, I come at this from a couple of different angles. One, I think all government statues of politicians and war stuff should be taken down. The reason for that is I think that war memorials romanticize war and they create more dead soldiers. People go to these things and they get all nostalgic. They're like, for our country, these men gave their lives. No, they didn't give their lives. Their lives were snatched out of their bodies. Plain and simple.
Yeah, I used to buy into that same. Yeah, I used to also.
So, but I really, really do not understand all this offense that people are taking at these statues. And for some reason, I have this idea that they feel that if they take these statues down, that maybe they can make the Civil War and slavery unhappen.
Mm.
You know, like they can write it out of history or reverse these things. What's really amazing is that you didn't have this stir over these things just a couple years ago. And this is a recent development. Why, after all this time, is everybody freaking out over it now?
Mm-hmm. I think it just fits the whole divide and conquer agenda. It's just something else they can use. Go ahead.
The politicians don't need to implement a divide and conquer agenda on the general population. Most of the general population is willing to do that on their own.
That's very true, unfortunately.
And also, when I hear about taking statues down, and you know what, if the right-wingers want to take down some sort of lefty statue or something like that, and I really can't think of any, but if they wanted to do that, both sides would remind me of the Taliban. And the reason I say the Taliban is I was watching a documentary after 9/11 because I was still, you know, I really cared about these things. And I was one of these people that said stuff like our country and everything else. And if you look at the history of the Taliban once they took over in Afghanistan, it wasn't that long before that Afghanistan was fairly modernized. I mean, granted, it was never a first world country, but it wasn't that bad in the 60s and 70s. It's really in the 80s that it went straight to poop. But one of the things that the Taliban did was they detonated these old, I don't know, you can't really call them statues. Maybe ruins would be a more appropriate thing. But there was these, in the mountain, carved in the side of mountains, they had I almost want to say like a Hindu type of artwork. It had been there for hundreds of years. I mean, it really been there. It had been there for a long time. I don't know how to put it, but they went and they detonated it and they destroyed it to make it, you know, to flush it down the memory hole. And quite frankly, when people are going around trying to take stuff down and make stuff unhappen, it reminds me of the Taliban. So, one last time, Agora Fest is September 7th through the 10th, and it will be held at the Buffalo Ridge Resort and Business Center in Gary, South Dakota. AgoraFest.com. And thanks for coming on tonight, Shane, and thanks to everybody for listening. For more Freedom Fiends, go to FreedomFiends.com. Worms.
Worms.